and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
It's the pioneering of a dream. The pioneering of a dream. This is almost really the prequel to this morning's message from Peter Mortlock. Remember when you saw Star Wars and you had the trilogy and they came out and they brought the prequel, which was the before the beginning of the beginning, and then you got the final three, which was the prequel of the prequel, and then you end up saying, I don't know what the heck I'm watching, it's just a Star Wars thing? No, I was the only one that was lost. Okay, fantastic. Well, this is kind of like that when it comes to the pioneering the dreams of God in our heart. Let me make this declaration straight up as we start. And it's this, that anything of any value in your life, anything that will have any kind of real meaning, legacy, fruitfulness, and impact will always go through the process of the pioneering of a dream. I thought that was a really good start. No, you didn't agree with it. I thought that was a really good start. You ready for it tonight, church? There is a process that God wants to take you and I every time he births a dream on the inside of us. It's the process of pioneering. It's the process of building line upon line, precept upon precept in our heart, in our life. Because the thing is by very nature, God is a pioneer. It's in his DNA. It is in his blood. He says, in the beginning. He goes through the Bible and he says, behold, I will do a new thing. God is in the business of doing a new thing. God is in the business of renewing old things. And he wants you and I to realize that he can bring old things and he can bring them into the new. Amen. He can bring dead things to life. And tonight we are the same. We have the DNA of God on the inside of us. And I believe that just like God dreams dreams, we can dream them too. And they're not just any dreams. They're not just man-made dreams, but they're conceived of God. They're birthed of God and they come to fruition in God. And if I was to give you a little bit of a stepped process to lay a foundation for tonight's message, when it comes to pioneering a dream, here's the process. Number one, God gives us the ability to conceive a dream or something new, okay? He then causes us to carry the dream. In other words, we're pregnant with a dream. We're pregnant with an idea. It's like something so small, as small as a seed, but it's come from God. And once we have this seed birthed on the inside of us, we actually give birth to that dream, that desire. But that's just the beginning. How many know once you have a baby, who are the new parents? Just give us a wave. Who are the new parents? Just a couple of you up the back. Yep, you're not a new parent at the back. He's 14. But God, once you do that, that's just the beginning. Once you give birth to a dream, there's the infancy of the dream. And then there's the maturity of the dream. And God wants us to understand tonight that there is a process, there is a stage for each of those. And he's called us to carry each one. He's called us to birth. And he's called us to see these things coming to fruition. Now, here's the trick. Often we launch into something without understanding the process that God wants to take us to see the fulfillment or the maturity of that dream actually come to pass. So what we've got to realize, first of all, is this. You can't just get a vision from God. God has to get the vision into you. You can't just make up the vision. The vision has to be birthed and placed on the inside of you first. It's not a man-made idea. It's not a nice idea. It's not something that you do on a whim. It's got to be birthed on the inside from above. It's got to be kingdom. So if you've got your Bibles here tonight, I want you to open up your Bibles or your apps to Acts chapter 9. And I'm reading from the NIV. Acts chapter 9. And I want us to take a couple of lessons tonight from the life of Paul. And in verse 1 through to 6, it says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and he asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. Well, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And he replied, now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. You see, Saul, before he came Paul, was what we call a zealot. He was incredibly zealous for the things of God. Saul was no doubt a pioneer. He was just pioneering in the wrong thing. You see, if you go back into history, you'll actually find that Saul was an incredible scholar of the Old Testament. He was raised at the feet of a great scholar called Gamaliel, and he was incredibly passionate and zealot for the law. He was incredibly passionate, and it says that he followed the law to the nth degree. So he had a passion, but simply for the wrong thing. You see, when God gives you a dream, before he can entrust you with the dream, he wants to test your motive. He wants to purify the motive of the dream. And he says, "So why are you persecuting me?" He's like, "Is that you, Lord? I thought I was doing you a favor by killing all the Christians." And he goes, "No, you're not helping the kingdom. You're hindering the kingdom." And he says, "What I want you to realize is this, that the dream that God places in our hearts first must go through the motive test. Is this something that's for you? Or is this something that's for God? Is it something that's self-seeking? Or is it something that's kingdom-seeking? Is it something that will elevate me or will it elevate him?" And so Saul has an encounter with Jesus Christ that begins to alter his perception. You know, sometimes I get people come up to me and they're like, "Oh, I really want to be in the ministry. I really want to sing on stage because I think I've got the X factor, or I really want to be, you know, awesome at this, and I really want this awesome career." And the only word that I seem to hear in every sentence that they talk about, or the only word or the letter, is "I." I want this and I want that, and this is how my career is going to benefit me, and here's how the music team can benefit me. And so I can see, I get this sense, hold on, this is not conceived in God. This is something that you've conceived yourself. You know, I spent nearly 10 years as a leadership educator in the corporate world. And I'd often finish a session and I got a lot of people come up to me and they said, "Hey, that was really helpful. You've really helped me to be a better leader." And I'd say, "Thank you." And they'd say, "Oh, you know what? I've just been sitting there and I just had this great idea." I said, "I'd like to do what you do. I'd like to be a leadership educator. It's just occurred to me. I don't want to be an accountant anymore. I don't want to be a lawyer. I want to be a leadership education. Surely that's going to be simple." And I said, "Well, perhaps." And I said, "Why do you want to do it?" I do the motive test. "Why do you want to do it?" And they said two things. Number one, it looks really easy. And number two, you're really entertaining. I said, "That's the only reason why you want to be a leadership educator." I said, "Yeah, it sounds like a whole heap of fun." And they said, "Well, how do I become a leadership educator?" Well, it's really easy to do. What you do is you start about 20 years earlier. Right? You read a whole heap of leadership books. You get two kinds of qualifications. You volunteer your time in a not-for-profit because you've never done it before. For me, it was about 20 years. And you practice on people. You read about 200 leadership books. You get special qualifications. You give your time for nothing. You have blood, sweat, and tears. You don't get thanked for any of it. And then you get ready to lead people and educate them. Would you like to do that? I think I'll just go back to accountancy and lawyering. It's the motive test. And so God wants us to say, before I can entrust you with the dream from heaven, is your motive pure? Is it something that I can rest in your heart? Can you remember the great man of God that was Joseph? Joseph's a young man and God entrusts him with an incredible dream. And in essence, I won't go into it, but the dream simply says this. He has a dream. And he goes to his brothers and he says, "Guys, I had a dream last night," and they're all older than him, and he's the golden child, all right, and they're jealous of him already. And he says, "You know what my dream basically meant? It meant that you, all of you, and mum and dad are going to one day bow down to me." What do you reckon brothers did? "Woohoo, that's awesome. Yep, I'm backing you, man. I'm just cheering you from the stands." They're still like, "Man, you are out of your mind." And what he didn't realize was the initial idea of the dream, for him, he thought it was all about him. It was self-seeking at best. He didn't realize that God had a greater plan of purpose for the conception of that dream. But God needed to purify it. He needed to send it through the test of time. When Saul has an encounter with Jesus, he asks the question, "Why are you persecuting me?" You see, he has an encounter from heaven, okay? He has an encounter from, and in one moment, he goes from persecuting the kingdom to pursuing the kingdom because he gets something that's birthed from heaven. So here's the question I want you to ask in your heart tonight. How do I know if what's in my heart, the dreams, the desires, the stepping out into the new, how do I know if it's something that's been birthed of God? It's a really valid question to ask yourself tonight. And the answer in part would be this. I would say this. Something that's birthed from heaven is always about the kingdom. It is always about building God's plans and purposes, number one. And number two, it will always, always, always help and benefit somebody else. It will always build somebody, strengthen somebody, help somebody, free somebody, unshackle somebody, prosper somebody. That's the test for the dream. And if you can say, yeah, that aligns with what's in my heart, I'd say you're well on the way to seeing that dream come to pass. But if it's not, God will use those desires and he wants to purify them. And he wants an alignment to take place in your heart so that the fullness of the dream can take place. You see, you think about Abraham. Abraham dreamed a dream and God said, I want you to be a father of nations. And because it was for God's people, it comes to pass. Joseph then takes that nation and he saves that nation from drought when he becomes a prime minister. Moses takes that nation almost into the promised land. It was all about God's plan. It was all for others and it wasn't for themselves. David dreamt a dream to be a shepherd of God's people. He was one of the greatest leaders and shepherds that ever lived. Saul turns into Paul and it's only after he has an encounter from heaven that he almost single-handedly builds the New Testament church. It's all about the motive test. And here's the second question I get you to consider tonight. Number one, is this thing birthed from me? How do I know if this thing that's in my heart is from God? Let's have a look in Matthew chapter 1, if you want to turn there in your Bible or your apps. Here's the second way to confirm if what's in my heart is from God. What's in my heart is from God. Matthew 1, I'm going to kick off from verse 18 in the NIV again. And it says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Isn't it interesting? You can have a dream, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be smooth sailing. Amen? Yep, she's faced with birthing the Son of God, and all of a sudden she's faced with a divorce. Hold on, I thought this thing was going to be wonderful and smooth sailing and it was all going to be puppies on a beach and unicorns and rainbows. It's like, okay, I have no idea why I just said that, but you know what I'm saying, right? Let's keep reading. Okay, let's keep reading. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And he said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. It's got to be conceived from the Holy Spirit. Your dream has to be birthed from the Holy Spirit. You see, when God puts a dream in your heart, it's far more than just a nice idea, church. It's not just a whim. It's not just an unction. It's not just a fleeting thought. It's something that gets deep on the inside of you. And I know this, when you're pregnant and something is conceived like that, you start to talk differently. You start to walk differently. My beautiful wife, when we had our first child, was like, when we found out we were pregnant, she started to eat differently. I thought she was eating for five. No, she was eating for one. Sorry, my wife's here tonight. She's going to kill me. Yep, she's going like this. That's it. I'm on the couch. She started to think differently. She started to read about stuff. She started to walk. Her body started to make changes. You can't hide something that's conceived in the Holy Spirit, church. It's going to start to show up in your life. It's not just something that's just a nice passing thought. It will begin to transform the way you think, the way you feel, the way you talk, the way you walk. It'll become out of me and my little world, and it'll expand your vision, and you'll start to think about people. You'll start to think about lives, because what's been birthed in you is from the Holy Ghost, and it's not from man. It's not from man. Because this is what I realized. If it's not planted deep in your heart, it's not something that's conceived in the Holy Spirit, if it doesn't resonate, you won't have the resolve to see the dream come to pass. We won't have the resolve to see the dream come to pass. Can you imagine Jesus rocking up to Paul? He doesn't really have an encounter, but he just has like a recruitment day for people who want to start the first church, right in the book of Acts. And he goes up and he says, hey, Saul, I'll call you Paul for want of a better term. And he says, look, I really like you to sign up to be one of the key leaders of the New Testament church. Would that be okay? Before you do, though, I just want to let you know what you're in for. He's like, yeah, sure, this sounds really exciting, right? He's like, this is going to be fantastic. It's going to be a real ride. So this is what he says. He says, and this is from 2 Corinthians 11, by the way. He says, look, you're going to have to work for this dream to come to pass. You're going to have to work incredibly long hours. In fact, probably 7 days a week. You're going to be in prison frequently. Sorry about that. You're going to be flogged severely. You're going to be exposed to death, like you're almost going to die again and again. Five times you'll receive from the Jews 39 lashes across your exposed back. Who's ready to sign up for Jesus? Anybody? Let me give you... Oh, but wait, there's more. There's more. Three times you'll be beaten with rods. Once you'll be pelted with stones. So you're going to get stoned. Not that stone. Pelted with stones, right? Three times you'll be shipwrecked. You'll spend a night and a day in the open sea. You'll be constantly on the move. So that house deposit, forget about it. It's off the table. Don't even buy a house. You'll be in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from your fellow Jews whom you love, in danger from the Gentiles. Oh, by the way, you're going to be in danger in the city, in the country, in the sea, by false believers. You'll often go without sleep. You'll often be very hungry, very thirsty, and go without food. And to finish it all off, yes, right, to finish it all off, you'll be constantly cold and naked. Yeah. So, Paul, if you'd like to just sign here on the bottom line and just sign here, 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 and here, we'll be on your way and we'll get you signed up. What do you reckon? No takers out in the audience tonight. And Paul goes, oh, could I just grab a pen? I'm going to give this a go. He goes, no, sorry, we don't use pens. You've got to sign it in your own blood. Woohoo! How did he survive all of that? He had a dream that was birthed in the Holy Spirit. He had something that was conceived that got a hold of him on the inside. It wasn't fashionable. It wasn't culture. It wasn't just a nice idea. But people, if you can get something that's purified in God and you'll let it plant it on the inside of you, it will stand the test of time. It'll stand the stretch. It'll stand the uncertainty. It'll face against the fear. It'll face against the storm. And you'll be able to say, no, what I've got on the inside of me, I need to give birth to the whole. I need to give birth, and I don't care what it's going to take. I don't care if it's time. I don't care if it's energy. I don't care if it's money. I don't care if I have to lose friends, if I have to change jobs, because what I've got to do is give birth to this thing that's on the inside of me in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, why don't you give God a shout? I think it's helping me. I hope it's helping you. So you get this thing. It's purified. You go, yep, my motive's right. It builds the kingdom. It helps others. God puts it on the inside of you, and you're like, man, I'm ready. That's it. Let's go. I've got this thing, and I feel it's in God, and I'm ready to give birth to this thing, God. I'm ready to run it. And then he just says one simple little word: wait. Yeah, wait. What do you mean, wait? I'm ready to go. I've got the dream. Joseph gets the dream, and he spends many years before the dream comes to pass. David, King David, gets anointed from the man of God. And he spends like 8, 9, 10 years running from Saul before the dream starts to come to pass and he starts to rule as king. Jesus says to the disciples, I'm going to leave now and I'm going to go and I want you to wait in the upper room for the Holy Spirit. Don't do anything until he shows up. You see, for you, once you begin to birth a dream or about to birth a dream, there is a wait in God. Here's the challenge, church. Here's the challenge for me. We live in a popcorn society. Stick it in the microwave. Microwave for 30 seconds. Ding, your dream is done. Let me just check if that's hot. Yeah, that's hot and ready to go. And off I go and I try to live out the dream. God's timing is different to your timing. Amen. And some of you in this place tonight, You've looked at the weight of the dream and you've misdirected and thought God was saying no to the dream. But God is saying to you tonight, it's not no. What I'm doing is I'm creating a formation of the fullness of the dream on the inside of you. Why? Because who you are now is not strong enough to carry what you're about to carry. Okay, that fell a little bit dead on somebody's ears tonight. Now, let me say that again. Who you are now is not quite yet who God's called you to be to carry what you need to carry, but you will be. And God's calling you to say, you know what? I'm going to form some character on the inside of you. I'm going to create broader shoulders on the inside of you. I'm going to create deeper faith on the inside of you. I'm going to create a resilience that you don't have now, but you're going to need it to be able to carry what I'm going to call you to carry once the dream starts to come to pass. Why? So that the dream doesn't die. You don't walk away from it. You don't get scared of it, but you look it in the face and say, now I've got what it takes to not only give birth to the dream, but actually see it in its infancy and walk it into its full maturity. I love what Paul said. He got to the end of his life and he says, I have walked, I have fought the good fight. I have walked and I've run the race. I have received the prize. Now, had he not put that, the Holy Spirit put that seed deeply on the inside of him on the road to Damascus, and he had not known what he was in for, he probably would have said, I'm not signing up for that. But God says, I am creating a maturity on the inside of you that not only will you be able to carry the dream, but I want you to be able to birth and speak hope and dreams on the inside of the people around you. Why? Because you've walked the walk. You've held the fight. You've seen this thing come to fruition. And now you start to take people, and Paul takes the early church and he begins to birth it. And he creates it. And he creates churches all over the Western world. You see, we've got to realize that there is a timing in God. And we want the instant. I know it's nice and it's tempting. But God says, let me do my work. And when I do my work, you'll be able to take that dream to its absolute fruition. A young Joseph sits in prison, a crime that he didn't commit for many, many years. And in the formation of that secret place, the dream gets matured. In fact, he gets matured. Moses goes and he goes in the back of a desert for nearly 40 years. And after 40 years, God then calls him and he has a burning bush moment. Don't be in a hurry to try and jump into this thing until God says now is the time and you're ready for it to come to pass. You know, I'm really a byproduct of everything that I'm preaching tonight. I'm not trying to hype you up. I'm not trying to sell you a story. I'm not trying to sell you a message. I've walked this myself. I remember when I was 10 years of age, I had an encounter with God in a meeting, just like it was a Sunday night. My dad was a pastor, so a visiting minister called me out. I was 10, and I remember the call of God was birthed on the inside of me, and it was so real. It was so powerful. But the problem was, I went home that night, and I thought I was going to be God's gift to the body of Christ at 10 years of age. I thought I was going to be walking on water, and I'd be the traveling evangelist, and I'd be raising the dead. And so for many, many years, just like I've been preaching to you, I thought I was the man called from God, right? So my motive was all screwed up. It was all about me. And from the age of 10 to the age of literally about 16 or 17, I had people come up to me and just time after time go, the call of God, the call of God, the call of God. I just got sick of it by then just saying, well, just bring the call of God on, right? The call of God. So I'm ready. I've got the dream conceived by the Holy Spirit. Then nothing. Silence. I knocked back a university degree that I was accepted into because I thought it was more important to do the call of God and I thought I was going to be a pastor. I knocked back a university degree. Crazy. And then I realized this, that I wasn't ready for the dream yet. And so I started a job and I eventually found a career as a leadership educator. And that was part of a smaller dream, which has had a huge part of my life. And in those moments, in the weight of God, God's matured me. God strengthened me. He's fashioned me to be able to carry the weight of that next part of the call of God on my life. And I look back now, think if I had walked into that as a younger man, you know what? I probably would have imploded. I probably wouldn't have been able to carry it in its fullness. I probably didn't have a maturity to be able to handle the call of God. And now, even just recently, I've stepped into a whole new realm in the call of God in my life. And now I'm here and I'm serving the house of God. And it's just a dream come to pass. But it took literally, it's like a 25-year journey. But I let God do the workings in me. And I let him work that out of my life. And I've seen something that sat as a seed as a 10-year-old. And I've just turned 46. Thank you, Jesus. Talk about the weight of the Lord, right? Yep. 10 till 46. And God says, now it's your time. And we're going to come on, give you a little lot of hand. That was my dream. That's my dream. You know, but I had to let that go to pass and trust that God was forming in me that thing so that I could carry it to the very end. And the last point, a couple of minutes to go, I want to pray for a couple of people in a moment. And it's simply this, that what gets conceived in the Holy Spirit must be nurtured and looked after in the Holy Spirit. What we need to realize is that when you see the dream, Your dream gets purified in your heart. God gives it to you. It starts to unfold after a period of time. He wants you to look after it by the Holy Spirit. He wants it to be nurtured by the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want you to just go off in your own flesh and your own strength and then make the unfolding of the dream come to pass. You see, remember when Abraham wasn't seeing the dream of the son Isaac come to pass? Remember what he did? His wife said, "This thing's not happening. Just do it in our own strength. Yep, get our maidservant Hagar and just create a son and we'll make the dream happen ourselves." And of course, they created Ishmael. It was an example of the work of the flesh. It was an example we tried to do things in our own timing, our own means, our own way. "God, I've got a dream for a business. God, you're not doing it in my time, so I'm just going to go home and make it myself." And they created an Ishmael, which wasn't necessarily a blessing to Abraham. But what God wants you to realize is when it's from the Holy Spirit, you look after it in the Holy Spirit, because here's what the Bible says. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by your own strength, your own wisdom, your own reasoning, your own college degree. Those things are okay. But he says it's by my Spirit that this thing comes to full maturity in your life and in my life. And you know what? When we do that, it builds kingdom, it builds people, and you'll have a sense of such fulfillment in your own life, because it's not a premature thing, it's not a late thing, it's perfectly in the timing of God, and you'll find such a... It's like a rest in God. It's like a deep sense of fulfillment when you walk in it. And when you see it and you walk in it and you wait in it, you'll find that the best days are yet to come. And you'll be able to say this: "I have been placed here for such a time as this, for such a time for this generation, for this group of people, for this house of God." And when we see it from that perspective, I tell you what, God will start to place dreams and visions in your heart.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.